Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We continue with the story from the first book of Samuel, the story of David, who was, as we read yesterday, was blessed and set apart for the Lord's work. And today we read from chapter 17, beginning with verse 32 and 33 and then 37. And then verses 40 to 51. So basically, chapter 17, verses 32 to 51, but we skip certain verses here. You'll still get the meaning that is intended. First book of Samuel, chapter 17. David spoke to Saul. "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." But Saul answered David, "You cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him. You're only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." See, Saul is making decisions simply based on human circumstances. You're an untested youth. This is a veteran warrior. This is crazy. But David continued, "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Now, one has to have genuine faith, but David had genuine faith. This was not a boast. "God has protected me from all kinds of animals who could have killed me. He will protect me now." And Saul answered David, "Go then, the Lord will be with you." Then, staff in hand, David selected 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. With his sling also ready to hand, he approached the Philistine. With his shield bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you're coming up to face a formidable foe? It could be physical, it could be mental. There are just all kinds of ways we come up against people, or at least we come toward people and have to deal with them, and we're afraid. We're afraid. But David just puts his trust in the Lord. So with his shield bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. So here he comes with a shield bearer before him. He's got support. And he's huge. Goliath is huge. And when he had sized David up and seen that he was youthful and ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine held David in contempt. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with a staff? I mean, what do you think I am?" And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said to him, "Come here to me. I'll leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel that you have insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand." So the Philistine wants to destroy. David wants to obey God. There's a huge difference. No matter how much strength and experience is on the other side, if you're doing what God asks you to do, all that you need will be there. It's learning how to determine what God wants me to do, not what I think, and put God's name on it. I'm sure God wants me to do this. You don't just think that way. You really have to pray through that. And David had done so. But now comes the Philistine. "Today the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will leave your corpse and the corpses of the Philistine army for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Thus the whole land shall learn that Israel has a God. All this multitude too shall learn that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves." It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into our hands. The Philistine then moved to meet David at close quarters, while David ran quickly toward the battle line in the direction of the Philistine. David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone, hurled it with the sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone embedded itself in his brow, and he fell prostrate on the ground. Thus, David overcame the Philistine with sling and stone. He struck the Philistine mortally and did it without a sword. Then David ran and stood over him, and with the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath, he dispatched him and cut off his head. That's rather brutal, isn't it? But the point that we need to see in this reading is that it looked like the Philistine had everything in his power. He had strength, he had confidence, he had experience, he was very successful. And here's young David with nothing but the call of God. And David stood up to him in the name of the Lord. I'm sure in his flesh he was terrified, but he used every skill that he had learned as a youth, and he defeated the Philistine. Brothers and sisters, a lot of us, perhaps not in human physical battle like this, but a lot of us seem to be up against formidable foes. That's when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to fight for you. If this battle, if you want me to be involved in this battle, then help me. Give me what I need and really rely on him. It's not a token prayer. It's really help me. Show me the way. Give me the wisdom. I'm not talking about hand-to-hand combat like it was here, but sometimes there are more vicious and more far-reaching circumstances today in our society. We're fighting battles with words, but those words are essential. Those words are essential because they can deliver the truth, but we need to pray that people will be able to receive the truth. And so when we're getting ourselves into a situation where we need to defend a Christian truth, or we need to propose something that would be more Christian in whatever circumstances we're in, we need to go to the Lord every day and say, help me, show me, give me your mind. Lead me in the way you would have me go. And sometimes it's right before you speak that you get the clarity, and sometimes it's while you're speaking you get the clarity. But God never fails us if we rely on him, if we turn to him, if we make sure we're operating in justice and truth. Then ask God for help, what to say, how to say it, where to say it, when to say it, and he will give it to us. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war. Our battles these days, there are many physical battles in parts of the world, but there's also the battle of the mind, the battle for the souls of people. It sometimes is a much greater warfare than the physical war we see day in and day out on our televisions these days. It's a much greater war we're fighting, because we're fighting for the eternal souls of those we love. God, you are my refuge and my fortress. You're my stronghold, my deliverer. You're my shield in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. Oh God, I will sing to you a new song. I will sing to you a new song. Praise him when he opens a door for us that we didn't even know was there. When he makes a way for us when we're lost and confused. Thank him again and again. Make thanksgiving a permanent part of your prayer. Don't just say, oh, thank you, God. Whew, that's over. And then we go back to business as usual. Don't do that. Draw closer to him. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for helping me. Use me, Lord, to build your kingdom. Use me to strengthen others. How do you want to use me? Show me the path. I stand ready to serve you, Lord. That's the spirit. That's the attitude, men and women, that we need to have before him. And the gospel today is the gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. They have no concern for this man with the withered hand. How that impedes him in getting any kind of work, we don't know. These were the days for all of the aids we have for someone who's physically disabled. They had nothing. They have no concern for that man, no concern for his well-being. They just want to see if they can catch him. Because if he heals on the Sabbath, he's violating the Sabbath, then they have grounds to charge him. Do you see where their hearts are? Their hearts are in the letter of the law, and in fact, it's not even accurate. But in their case, they were not looking at what was the intent of the law. They're not looking at that. They're just trying to find some way to get Jesus. And when you start doing that, when you get your mind into that kind of a framework, you're not going to be able to hear the Lord, and you're not going to be able to solve a situation or bring peace. We need to be able to hear the Lord. We need to be able to do His will, to follow Him. So they watched Jesus closely to see if He would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." And then He said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" See, Jesus is going to the heart of the matter. They're saying, well, we're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. But Jesus is going deeper than that. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? But they remained silent. Notice that? They won't answer him because they're caught. And they can't humble themselves and say, teach us, show us what you mean. Help us to understand. They remain silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out his hand and it was restored. The Pharisees went out. Notice, they didn't rejoice in the restoration of a limb to a poor man. They didn't rejoice. They went out immediately, took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. Brothers and sisters, they're not obeying God. They're not loving God. They have made the law their God, and they have made the interpretation of the law their God, so to speak. And look what it produces. Selfish, bitter men who seek to destroy everyone who doesn't agree with them. We run into that a lot in our world. We run into that a lot. We need, brothers and sisters, we need to really look at our motives for the things we do. May God lead us and bless us. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.